that's a true story. That actually happened.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious. when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night
And so it was that while they were there,
silent night, holy night.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make you new, and this sleeping child delivered will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked
walked where angels trod. And when you see your little baby, well, you've kissed the face of God. Above this special gift of love, more precious than silver or gold, he was sent this holiday to take our pain away. Amen. I hope you've got joy in your soul this morning. That's the reason we've come this way, amen, that we might worship the Lord Jesus, who came as a virgin born birth Son of God, amen. And we come and we celebrate that once again this morning. Thank you so much for being at Calvary. And we're going to give you an opportunity to stand, and we're going to take up our first offering this morning. This will be our regular tithes and offerings, the very first offering. And then we'll come back at the end of our music program this morning, and we'll have our special Christmas offering here in just a few moments. So again, the first offering is the regular tithes and offerings. In a few moments, we'll do the Christmas offering. And let me just say that tonight, downstairs at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall, we're going to have carols and cocoa. Now, you could probably figure out what that means. We're going to have some Christmas carols. We're going to have some hot chocolate. Brother Brian's bringing whipped cream. You don't want to miss out on it. Brother Allen's going to bring us a short devotion, Brother Allen Young, at the end, and we'll let you guys go home. It'll be a great time. We'll come in, and we'll share just a great time of Christmas together this evening, 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. I've asked them if they would to go ahead and go back, and let's pick up that Joy to the World, give you an opportunity to sing. If you will stand this morning, turn over to page number 408. Let's sing the first and the last of Joy to the World. Everyone sing now. Please remember the service downstairs. This coming Wednesday, there will be no service on Wednesday. That's Christmas Eve. Give you an opportunity to spend time with your family as you make ready for Christmas Day. And I just, on behalf of me and my family, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and hope that the Lord just blesses you in a very special way. If you're here this morning and you've never received the greatest gift that's ever been given, His name is Jesus. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. And you're in a great place here today. You're going to hear in a few moments the gospel. And Brother Brian's going to come and share with us a devotion this morning about Christmas, I'm sure. But I would pray that everyone would leave here knowing about the greatest gift that's ever been given, that Jesus has come to live in your heart and in your life. Again, this is our regular offering and tithes this morning. And we're going to ask God's blessing on that as well as the remaining part of the service. Father, we love you and we praise you. Lord, thank you so much for being willing to give your Son our salvation. Lord, we are so thankful for that today. Lord, I pray that you'd be in this service. Lord, thank you for the blessings. Lord, thank you for sending these young folks to come and play and be a part of our music program this morning. What a blessing that is. And Lord, I pray that we, Lord, would be a help to them a little bit. And Lord, they've been a great help to us. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, give them a special blessing. Some have traveled some distance to be here this morning. And I thank you for this group of young people that come. And Lord, they've come just to give, Lord, the talents they have for the Savior this morning. We thank you for that. Lord, again, I pray that you'd be with those that are going through a difficult time during this holiday season. And Lord, I pray that you would touch those that just stand in need of that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, be with them. Now, Lord, bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name.
on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold,
this time, this will be our special Christmas offering. And if I could go ahead and get the guys, go ahead and bring the plates down. Let's do it this way. Amanda's going to sing our song this morning for the Christmas offering. We've heard this several times. What a beautiful song it is. I know it'll be a blessing to you. Guys, you can just leave the plates right there. We'll come back and get those in a few moments. I want to give you a special opportunity to be able to come, just come into the Lord this morning and lay your offering inside the tray. It'd be a great blessing to you. Just as she begins to sing and you feel led, won't you just go ahead and stand and come out and leave your offering unto the Lord this morning.
Of Bethlehem appeared a star.
while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth, they traveled from afar, hoping to find the child of heaven. Falling on their knees, they bow before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Merry Christmas, my friends. If you have your Bibles, will you go with me to Luke chapter number 2? We're just going to read 5 sentences out of the Word of God today. I just want to say to you today, Jesus Christ really did come, and Jesus Christ really does care. And if at the end of this mini devotion that we're doing today, I have not convinced you of that, then I have miserably failed. And actually, at the end of any sermon, if we have not convinced you of that, then we have miserably failed. Jesus really did come. And he really does care. Luke chapter number 2 is Bible royalty. You guys know it as the Christmas story. And even though it's Bible royalty and it is the Christmas story, it starts in a most common of ways. The government is imposing a burdensome tax. Don't you love those things? Anybody feel like the government's imposing a burdensome tax right now? What do we always say? 2 things are certain in this life. Death and taxes. You're right. We hate them both, don't we? We just absolutely hate them. But God in his love for us is using one thing that we hate to get rid of something we hate more. Because as you recall, this tax is going to be used by God to orchestrate the pieces, to get the people where they need to be, to bring about the birth of his son Jesus Christ exactly where he is supposed to be. And because of the birth of Jesus Christ, hear me, you can be forgiven. Because of Jesus Christ, you can be washed. Because of Jesus Christ, you can have a do-over. Because of Jesus Christ, you can start anew. Because of Jesus Christ, you can have everlasting life. This Jesus has come to literally, here's what happens. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God applies his death as payment for your sins. And when that happens, God himself removes from you the only thing that has ever separated you from God. Literally, his death payment for your sins in that instant that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Instantly, God removes the thing that separates us from him. I remember when I got saved, the only reason I got saved as a 12-year-old young man, I did not want to pay for my sins in that place called hell. I just did not want that. So I turned to Jesus Christ for salvation. But nobody told me that instantly God was going to invade my space. Do you know why? The minute you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are paid for and nothing, absolutely nothing separates you from God anymore. And you can have that life. Back to the tax. So the Bible tells us that the government imposed a tax and Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, did not live in Bethlehem, but were from Bethlehem. So they had to travel back to Bethlehem. I partly believe, remember, the Bible says she's great with child. She's 9 months pregnant. How many of you have walked with a 9-month pregnant woman before? Anybody in the room remember those days, right? They're very limited in what that girl wants to do. I actually believe the only reason he got Mary on the donkey was she was from Bethlehem, and she probably knew the prophecy that said Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, and she thought that bumpy ride might get the show started, right? Here we go. I just believe that, right? And so he puts her on that donkey, and they go riding over to Bethlehem. And this is also what you know to be true. We don't choose when our children are born. For just a little while in their life, they're absolutely in charge. They decide when they're going to be born. And when they get to Bethlehem, that tax has done exactly what God intended for it to do. It has brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, but it has also flooded the city of Bethlehem with people who had to return. So there's no room for them anywhere to stay. Literally, the inn is full, the town is completely full. The last thing that they can do is sleep in a stable, go into a barn. And do you know that is exactly what Jesus Christ chose? Do you know why Jesus Christ did that? Implied the tax so that it would be flooded, so that he would be born in a barn, laid in an animal trough. That's what a manger is. He did that because in that impoverished place of his birth, everybody can get there. The rich can come. The poor can come, the old can come, the young can come. If he'd been born in a castle, so many would have been excluded. If he'd been born in a gated community, so many would be excluded. His message was, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. And so he's born in that place, you might recall. And the Bible says in Luke 2, at the same time, the Bible, God wanted to kind of highlight it so we wouldn't miss it. God dispatched an angel to speak to shepherds. I like the song that Amanda just sung. It talked about in your presence, there's no shadows, something to that effect. The Bible says the angel stood before them, but the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Can you imagine that scene? Remember, they didn't have the internet back then. They didn't have Wi-Fi or special effects. They had never seen anything like that in any fame, in any rate. And the Bible says they were fearful. Do you know that's true? When we encounter the divine, sometimes we can be fearful. We're used to earthly things. We like people and animals and fish and critters, even ladybugs, that kind of thing. But something angelic, it spooked them. But you remember what the angel said? I love it. The angel said, fear not. First thing out of the mouth, fear not. You don't have time to be afraid. Hear this. Please hear this. Today is a day to have your breath taken from you at the goodness of God. Today is a day to stand in awe. Today is a day to marvel. Today is a day to fall on your knees, as the song says. God is here and God is for you. Unbelievable. He said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That is great joy. That is great news indeed. All people, any can come to Jesus. Would you come to Jesus? Would you come to Jesus? Beyond that, the angel said, and this shall be a sign unto you. Do you remember what the sign was? This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Here's the indication from heaven that you found the right child. The only baby laying in a trough, that's the Savior of the world. And again, why is he there? Because he wants you to come. When the angel said that, you'll find him in a trough. The Bible says, suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Why did they show up right then? Can I tell you what I suggest? I suggest to you that angels are hard to impress. I think angels have seen God. You remember when Gabriel stood before Zechariah and Zechariah didn't believe him? He actually said, I am Gabriel who stand before the presence of God. He's good tidings, right? You don't know who I am, boy, is what he was saying, right? I've seen a lot. But when the angel saw this baby laying in the dirt, laying down in the dirty place of that trough, literally, they could not help but praise the Lord. They could not literally hold back what they had to say of the praise to the Lord, because they understood God made us out of dirt and has now joined us in this dirty place. They began to praise the Lord. The Bible says the shepherds took off to see what they could find where the angels had led them. And we pick up in verse number 16. We're just going to read five sentences if you'll get it. Luke chapter 2, there are only five sentences that describe what they found there. Starting in verse number 16, the Bible says these words, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered," mark that word, "at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered," mark that word, "them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And can I just suggest this to you? I bet the shepherds told that story 1,000 times. I bet they told it back to each other. I bet they said, "Do you remember? I remember." One would say to him, "You were afraid." "No, you were afraid." "No, you were afraid." They told it. God had spoken to us. Do you remember? I bet those shepherds told their grandchildren. You might not believe this, but there was a night when God came near. On an ordinary night, God reached into our lives to tell us that there was a salvation way, and God tried to reconnect us to us. And you know what I would say to that? I would say to that, same here. It was just an ordinary night in my life. I'm not kidding you. When the conviction of my sins came into my life and I called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me again, just so I wouldn't go to hell, and the Lord God drew near to my life. They told of this experience. And this is what I would say to you. When the Bible says when they relate it to the people, God carefully chose those two words. The people the shepherds told, the Bible says they wondered. And that word wondered is not like the word wondered that you and I would use today. When we wonder, we're kind of questioning. That word in the Bible is actually talking about like they stood in awe. They were blown away that God had drawn near. And I will just say this to you. If you ever get the involvement of God in your life on any level, you will wonder in that way. You will stand in awe. Everything of this earth grows old. Krispy Kreme donuts, if you have them over and again, you get tired of them. It's just true. My wife would say to you, if you've been married to the same guy for 26 years, it's not quite the same, right? It's just not quite the same, right? But at any rate, the things of this earth grow dim, but at every level, when God, the God of heaven, involves himself in your life, you will just stand in awe. I've been in ministry my entire adult life. That's all I have ever done. And I can still say to you, when God moves in my life, I go, wow. Wow. I told the church on Wednesdays, I run the Christmas tree lot at Calvary Children's Home, and we buy the trees according to what God tells us. That's the only thing we do. Before the tree lot opens, I begin to pray, "God, how many trees you want us to sell?" This year, I told the church, God told us to get 1,100 Christmas trees. 1,100 Christmas trees. That's a lot. I actually believe we're one of the strongest single-site Christmas tree lots in the country. I know of one that sells 1,500, but they have three lots. But that was a bold move. We're going to sell 1,100 Christmas trees. We're going to buy them, and we're going to put them out there. Can I tell you to the number what we have sold as of this morning, Christmas trees? We have given 3 Christmas trees away. And we have sold 1,100 Christmas trees. Amen. And to that, on the head, to that I say, wow, wow, I still marvel. But Mary took it a step further. The Bible says she pondered, that she kept these things in her heart. That imagery that God is using, remember, God chose those words and he spoke that of her twice in this chapter, that she held on to it like she didn't want somebody to take it from her, or she didn't want it to drift from her mind, that she put it in a position that she would be able to keep it and treasure it and hold on to it. And what I love the most about it is later in the chapter, the Bible actually says she didn't understand it all. Like literally, she didn't have all of her questions about Jesus answered. She could never have understood all that God was going to do in her life, or how this was going to work out in her life. But the Bible says, in spite of the fact that she didn't understand it all, she put it in a prominent place. She elevated what God had said and what God had done in her life to a prominent place. And can I say this to you? And this is the whole crux of what God told me to tell you today. If you will elevate what God has said, if you will hide God's word in your heart, If you will walk with God and let the Spirit of God speak to you and lead you and guide you, and you will cling to those things, you will find a life full of the involvement of God. Did you catch what I just said? Mary didn't understand it, but she decided, I don't get it all, but I know God has said it, so I am in, I am holding on to it, and I am walking the path that he has, and she found the plan of God for her life. I think of a couple characters in the Bible, and I'll be quick. Give me like 6 minutes left, okay? There's Simeon in the Bible. Do you remember him? Simeon in the Bible says he was a man that was just, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God led him to the temple. And when he went into the temple, he had been given a promise from God that he held onto. And that promise was, before you die, your eyes will see the Savior of the world. And when he was an old man, he was led of the Spirit of God into the temple. And in walks the parents of Jesus with their baby, 8 days old, I believe. He's only 8 days old. And the Bible says that Simeon goes over to that baby and picks him up Lion King style, right? You know, like, oh, and he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And thy spirit can depart in peace. You know what he was saying? I've reached the top, man. I can die now. What you said has come true. I have held the Savior of the world. I think of others in this story. Joseph. You remember Joseph? He's a typical guy. Doesn't get a single word in. Not a word in the Bible. Absolutely. It's like somebody hit the mute button. But you know what he did? He held on to what God said. God told Joseph to name the Son of God Jesus. For just a minute, imagine he did what we do sometimes. Anybody in here ever disobey God? No hands go up on that, but you're kidding me, right? In the back, Mike Baker's like, me! Anyway, for sure, what if Joseph had named him Joe or Bob or Sam? Can you imagine that? That'd be totally different. How many of you guys were at Calvary Children's Home on Friday night when Rachel Ambot stood up there with her unbelievable monologue and she said, come to Jesus with your doubts. Come to Jesus with your fears. Come to Jesus with your lack of understanding. Come to Jesus with your sins and he will help you turn. Come to Jesus. Thank God. Joseph held on to what God said and named him Jesus. Mary, we're done with this. Mary, the Bible says she pondered it. She held on. She didn't get it all, but she said, even though I don't understand it, I'm not walking away from Jesus. Even though I don't get it all, God, I'm not walking away. I'm holding on to what you said. And she found purpose. Do you remember what she said after Elizabeth spoke to her? She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You know what's amazing? Her Savior was either already in her or about to be in her womb. And when she said, my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior, she was speaking of a God inside of her. Do you know what? If Jesus Christ is your Savior, guess where he is? He is inside of you. A God who moves into your life so intimately. And she found purpose. She went on to say, from henceforth shall all generations call me blessed. The Lord hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. She found purpose. She realized in holding on to what God said, God had given her a prominent role in the family of God. And if you will hold on to what God has said, you will realize what a significant role God has given to you in the family of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. How incredible is that for your experience? And that will fuel you. Beyond that, we don't know much about Mary and Jesus' life, but would you accept that Jesus was a good and loving son? Would you accept that we know that to be true because he is the Son of God? And the two scenes that we see them later in the life, this is what we discover. In the first scene where it's evident that Mary is, when Jesus is 30 years old, she is somehow responsible for the catering at a wedding. Or she just cares that it's going badly. You remember that, right? And the Bible says she looks at her 30-year-old son and says to Jesus, they're out of wine. That's what she said. They're out of wine. And the Bible says Jesus responded to her in a way that would have got me knocked out, right? Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee, right? But when he said that, woman, I'm told, that wouldn't have went well in my household, I promise you. But I'm told that that was a word like ma'am in Bible days, right? But you cannot miss that there's nothing but resistance for what Jesus is saying to his mother. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Hey, there's nothing but resistance. It's only resistance. Jesus was saying, I don't want to do this, but what do you know about the story? The Bible says the next thing you know, he's making wine. How about that? Mama's got her ways, doesn't she? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say she said anything. You know what I think she did? I truly do believe this. I think she gave him a look, right? Did your mama have a look? Did your mama have a look that could motivate you? I don't know if she had a look that was like, I rode on a donkey 9 months pregnant, you know what I mean? Or if she had a look like, please. I don't know what it was, but the Bible says Jesus heard the petition of his mother, and the Bible says he helped her. He saw her need. It's so insignificant as far as the world is spinning, but they ran out of a beverage at the wedding, and it was important to his mama, so he helped her. You hang on to what Jesus said. You value what God has spoken and what he has done in your life, and you will experience the help of God. I promise you I could preach that for 30 hours. If you dared me, I would take off. I promise you I could tell you my life's experience, how I have seen that in my life. I'll say this to you also. The Bible says that she experienced care. We don't get to see Joseph and Mary and Jesus very often. We know that Joseph died because of what I'm about to tell you. But on the cross of Jesus Christ, we only know of 7 things that Jesus said. Do you remember that? We know he said some important things. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Remember that? He said to that one guy, this day you will be with me in paradise. But he said to John, and he said to his mother, John was that young disciple, that loving disciple. I will say to you, there's no question that John was the most compassionate of the disciples. Who do we, new believers, when they say, what part of the Bible should we read? What do we always tell them? Go to John, man. He's so kind. He's so loving. He's so compassionate. He's the one that laid over on Jesus on the cross before he died when he was bleeding and in agony. He said to John and to his mother, behold your son, behold your mother. And what he was saying is, John, you take care of my mother. Because the Bible says specifically, from that day forward, she moved in with him. And I'll tell you one more thing. Do you remember who all the disciples who died, all 11 of them died, 11 of the 12 died? Do you remember which one was not martyred? It was John. Do you know why? In part because he had to live long enough to see that he took care of the mother of Jesus Christ until the day of her death. God, it's big business. God cared. She held on to what God said, even though she didn't get it. Anybody in here, some of the parts of the Bible you don't get? Anybody in here, things happen in your life you don't get? I don't know why Dion's dead. I don't know, I'll be honest with you. I don't get it, right? But I'm still holding on to what God said. I'm still going to, there are parts of it I don't understand, right? Parts of my life, but I'm not going to run from Jesus. I'm not going to run from Jesus. I'm going to hang on. And if you will do what she said and value the things that God has said, keep going to Jesus and keep going to Jesus, you're going to find purpose. You're going to find help. You're going to find really great care. I promise you, you just will. So with that, I'm going to pray. I'm going to say, is there anybody in here that could use a hug from Jesus? Is there anybody here who could use some help from Jesus? Is there anybody here who would like to get your sins washed away? Would you come to Jesus? I'm going to pray. I've asked them to play a song softly. After we pray, the altar will be open. Our great God, we love you. We thank you for Christmas. Thank you, Jesus, that you really did come. Thank you, Lord, that you care. Thank you, Lord, that on an ordinary night you came my way. Wow, I'm still in awe. No pretense whatsoever. I fall before you. Wow, God, so grateful for it. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to have your way in this place today. I pray, Lord, that there are some people in here who've got things in their life that they know that they should not have in their life, that they would not cling to those things and push you away, God. I pray that they would bring those things to you and you would help them step out of that and you would help them walk away from those things. God, I pray if there's somebody in here who's never trusted you as Savior, if they can't look back to a specific day in their life where they turn to you and ask you to save them from their sins, I pray that they'd come down to this place and they could cry out to you all alone or pray to you all alone or they could get some help and be pointed in that direction. I just pray you'd be involved, God. Would you have your will and your way as we finish this service today? It's almost Christmas, Jesus. This time's about you. Let us make it about that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll rise to your feet. If for any reason whatsoever you want to pray for your family today, you want to say to Jesus, I want you involved in my life this next year. If you want to come down here, talk to somebody about getting saved. If you just like got something going bad in your life and you want the help of God, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. All the grandparents that are in the room, I'll tell you this. I was witnessing to a community service worker this week, and he said to me he doesn't believe and he just can't believe. He said, but I'll tell you this. my grandma's got something that's real. My grandma believes in Jesus, and there's something in her life, so I'm open. So I'm open. Maybe you're in this place today and you're a grandparent. You just say, God, help me to live a life that my grandparent, my grandkids will see that. Maybe you're in this place today and you just want to say thank you. Maybe God's been good to you. You're talented, like the Hot Pockets over there. You just want to say, thanks, God. Thanks for being kind to me. Come to Jesus. Sweet tears at the altar. The Lord loves those. Lord loves those. Ever cried to Jesus that regretted it. I promise you that.
I'll trust thy love, believe thy will.
Let's pray together. God, we love you and we bow our hearts and our heads together, God, and we just say, thank you, Lord, that you came to us, that we might come to you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you've offered this friendship, that you've offered this help. That, God, there's a mountain of things in our lives that we don't understand, but there's a rock that we can run to. There's a place we can hide. There are truths that we can hold on to, Father. And I'm so grateful for your involvement in my life, your tangible involvement of my life. And, Father, I ask you, God, to hear the tears of Miss Pam down here. And, God, help untangle the knots that are in her mind, God, and all that's going on, Father. Lord, I pray, oh, God, that you just show kindness to her. And, Father, for all the others who cry out to you today and asking you for help, God, or maybe in this place today we could just say thank you. You've given us good families. You've given us resources, God. You've protected us in 1,000 different ways from harm, God. We love you for that today. And we just honor you today. And we want to say to you collectively, Merry Christmas, Jesus. Hey, we like what you did. We really appreciate it. And we pray this season you are honored. Involve yourself, oh God. Look our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord. It's almost Christmas. Can you believe that? Merry Christmas to you again. I pray God gives you a great week and you get to spend time with your families. There'll be no services on Wednesday night. Tonight, he wasn't lying. I'm bringing the whipped cream. I promise you, the squirt kind. It'll be good in the cocoa. Come on back and sing some Christmas carols. I think Jesus would like that. I really do believe that. And we'll learn more of the Word of God for just a few minutes tonight, 5 o'clock. Brother Celan did want me to announce and thank the church for the Christmas offering. It was $4,400 today. Yay! That'll be a lot of help to our church, and we praise the Lord for that. Does anybody else have any more announcements? God bless you. Have a great week with your family. See you tonight. Make sure you shake the hand of a Hot Pocket.